Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 25th day of October, 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, out of the office this afternoon, so no update of the commodity markets and the trade in Chicago. However, over the noon hour, I did have a discussion with Mike Zuzulo at globalanalytics.biz about the marketplace. Hey, Mike, thank you for taking time with me today.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for fitting me in.
And thanks for doing Commodity Week yesterday. Great program. People can listen to that at willag.org. Early trade in Chicago overnight and into the day Friday. What'd you make of it?
I think what I made of it was that the snow and the wet weather coming in next week and the GFS model pushing a lot different expectations for areas like Champaign, Urbana, and all the way over to Columbus, Ohio. A lot cooler weather and a lot wetter weather and maybe even snowier weather. I think this gave the market the chance to go ahead and reverse the spreads of buying beans and selling corn earlier in the week, coming back around and seeing the corn and wheat market, the feed grain market stronger as we closed out the week and the soy weaker. Makes sense given how much we have out in the fields for the corn right now. And that was something I thought the Commodity Week really delved into and really got our hands dirty in terms of how far behind we are. And it's starting to show that those delayed plantings that took us all the way past June 3rd of getting caught up in about seven different states, those are starting to be felt now with the harvest really lagging because that second crop of corn really isn't ready yet. So I kind of feel like next week's maybe a watershed week, Todd. If we're going to trade more harvest weather, it should put the corn kind of in a pole position. And I think maybe the trade will also start looking more at the Brazilian weather and the planting delay still there due to some drought areas in some key provinces.
So those are two things you'll want to watch next week, a USDA report on Monday afternoon, the weekly crop progress, to see where we are this week and how much progress is made next week in the United States, how the Brazilians are doing, what other items are on your list.
Yeah, the two things that we talked about just now are supply-driven features that would suggest our supply is still going down. That is good for the cash market, good for the cash basis, where we're starting to see some issues. What I think is going to be offsetting that maybe is not so great a news coming out of the U.S.-China trade negotiations. I'm nervous about that because of a speech Vice President Pence gave at the Wilson Institute on Thursday. The Chinese reacted in the foreign ministry, essentially saying, you're liars, you're arrogant. And meanwhile, the U.S. Trade Representative is on the TV and others from the Trump administration are on the TV on Friday saying we're really close to a deal. I just don't see that at this stage of the game. And so the demand issues that we've continued to fight and struggle with, they're still there. And so I'm hoping that the supply tightness and the weather outweigh any negativity we get in the market. And you know, my gauge has always been the U.S. dollar. And if we're getting good news from the Trump administration and the USTR on Friday, why is the dollar making new weekly highs? So trying to keep the politics out of it, just look at the markets. That's really our gauge and our go-no-go gauge from a standpoint of what's the market think about how negotiations are going. A weaker dollar is suggestive to me that negotiations are going good. A poor Brexit and a poor U.S.-China trade negotiations would suggest that the dollar is going to be bought as a safe haven.
You think that the Pence speech was important enough. You put it on your website at globalanalytics.biz. That's globalanalytics.biz. And then you hit blog, and you'll find Vice President Pence speech at the Wilson Center. What are they listening for? How far into the speech do they need to go?
Go 54 minutes in, that's when Vice President Pence talks. It was a fantastic speech from a standpoint of understanding Trump's foreign policy, which you and I have talked about before. That's interwoven, and you can't separate it out of the trade policy at this stage. And I've seen others start to write about that, too, in Washington as well. So I think the trade policy, foreign policy, have to be taken as one at this point.
Before I let you go for the day, cattle on feed numbers are due out this afternoon. Expectations.
well, we're getting a nice premium build into the market for the first time, I think, in 4 months, if I remember right, Todd. So the trade's looking at this market and saying we're more worried about tighter numbers. Watch the placements figures. They're a wide number of range of estimates, 95 to 107%. That's probably going to dictate our trade as far as whether we come in on the low end or high end, especially with the winter weather coming in. I think you've got a situation where the feeders are probably ready to go back up and lead the fat cattle even higher maybe for a time if we get low numbers on the placements.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with GlobalAnalytics.biz.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Eric Snodgrass is now here from AgriBull and Nutrien Ag Solutions to take up the weather forecast for Friday afternoon. Eric, thanks so much. Let's get started. What's the forecast look like in the Midwest? Farmers would like to finish the beans off and get a good run at the corn.
Yeah, get running, I think, is the main point here. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because we watched yesterday a low that kind of got cut off from the main flow of the atmosphere emerge out of parts of Texas. And in fact, it brought some snow, quite a bit of snow, to as far south as Amarillo. And that same low pressure system will be moving north over the next 48 hours. And that means it's going to be basically coming out of Texas and heading straight in our direction. And as it does so, it's able to tap into quite a bit of Gulf moisture. There's even a little tropical disturbance down there. In fact, it got upgraded to Tropical Depression 17 earlier this morning on Friday. And it's not that it's going to be a big tropical system, but it's going to be the supplier of all this moisture. So as we progress through the day on Saturday, the rain will be spreading from the south to the north, and eastern Corn Belt, parts of the Mid-South, getting over into Tennessee, Kentucky, have the potential to pick up a lot of rainfall out of this system. So it's on its way, and it'll be moving north and east with time, and it's going to shut folks down in that area, including Illinois, once we get through the day on Saturday with quite a bit of heavy rainfall out of this system.
Speaking of time, we're headed to a cooler time of year. Are those weathers blowing in?
Yeah, so we do see quite a bit of interesting things happening in the near term with the forecast. And what I mean by that is, as I start to look out into next week, we've been seeing all week long this week that there's been an advertisement in the models that, boy, it's going to give us a big cool down. But the timing of that and how it arrives is quite interesting. And what's going on here is we've got a kind of a big fight right now among our major global weather modeling systems. And I think the winner right now is the European model. And it's actually predicting midweek next week a pretty sizable low pressure system to emerge in the central United States where the GFS has none. And as it does, there's actually even the potential, you talk about that cold air, talk about the potential even for some snow stretching across the central plains, maybe over into parts of Missouri, Illinois, and Iowa next week. It's a non-zero chance at this point, which means we're going to have to watch out for that as we look at all the weather forecasts that do come out this weekend. But behind that, as we kind of get closer to Halloween, we're going to be seeing some really unseasonably cold air push in. And for a little while here, it's going to feel more like winter than it is going to feel like fall as that system progresses through next week.
Does the long-range forecast tell you that will continue into November?
Yeah, so we got some new information over the last several days here that allow us to look at some of our models and say, all right, what are the probabilities that these models have got this pinned down? So the last two runs from the European, we call it the European Weekly Forecast. It actually runs out about 45 days. We now have seen twice that it's trying to paint the eastern Corn Belt, the southeast, the mid-south, basically most places east of the Mississippi River, up through Illinois and east, up quite wet for the month of November. And some of the reasons for that are really right now in the Pacific Ocean. And we've seen quite a bit of change that's been pushing that forecast wetter and wetter. And I'll tell you, a lot of folks in the southeast are happy about it in terms of curing their drought, but it's not a good time for, cotton, of course, corn and soybean, but also peanut harvest in that area as well.
Better check in on South America.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The same thing that's going to be impacting South American weather is what's also driving the wetter weather that we're anticipating for the next month here. And that is we've seen the emergence of much warmer water in the middle part of the Pacific Ocean and getting over toward parts of South America. So we've talked multiple times about this big Indian Ocean dipole event, and it's actually created more El Nino-like weather. And those westerly winds that are moving across the Central Pacific and heating up the ocean there seems to be changing things across South America. Now, they've been dry, especially in central parts of southern and really in eastern growing regions of Brazil. And this has delayed the planting of their soybean crop. It's been wetter in parts of Mato Grosso and wetter down in, way down south in Paraná, and Uruguay and northern Argentina. But it seems as though this drier pattern is going to emerge. And I'll tell you one last thing, something for all of us to watch here in the States. If when this big Indian Ocean dipole event ends, if the Madden-Julian Oscillation, the MJO, comes out in phase 3 or 4, if you hear meteorologists talking about that, that's going to be very dry weather for the Brazilian monsoon region as we get into the month of November and even into December. So we've got a few things to watch that could be causing a bit of a hiccup or an upset in South America right now.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions.